जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहार राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी वन यमुना तीरावन चारी रावण जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्ण। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1st, Chapter 8, Verse 4th. Santvayamasa Munibhir Hatabandhur Shucharpitan भूतेश, I'm sorry, my eyes. स्पेक्स आर नॉट भूतेश कालस्य गतिम दर्शयन्न प्रतिक्रियाम सांत्वयामास मुनिभिर् हतबंधून शुचार्पितान् भूतेश कालस्य गतिम् दर्शयन्न प्रतिक्रियाम् सांत्वयामास मुनिभिर् हतबंधून शुचार्पितान् भूतेषु बालस्य गतिम् सॉरी भूतेषु कालस्य गतिम् दर्शयन्न प्रतिक्रियाम् सांत्वयामास मुनिभिर् हतबंधून शुचार्पितान् भूतेषु कालस्य गतिम् दर्शयन्न प्रतिक्रियान् सांत्वयामास मुनिभिर् हतबंधून शुचार्पितान् भूतेषु कालस्य गतिम् दर्शयन्न प्रतिक्रियाम् सांत्वयामास मुनिभिर् हतबंधून शुचार्पितान् भूतेषु कालस्य गतिम् दर्शयन्न प्रतिक्रियाम् माताजी सांत्वयामास मुनिभिर् हतबंधून शुचार्पितान् भूतेषु कालस्य गतिम् दर्शयन्न प्रतिक्रियाम् सांत्वयामास मुनिभिर् हतबंधून शुचार्पितान् भूतेषु कालस्य गतिम् दर्शयन्न प्रतिक्रियाम् विल रीड वर्ड टू वर्ड सांत्वयामास पैसिफाइड मुनिभिः अलोंग विथ द मुनीज प्रेजेंट देयर हतबंधून Those who lost their friends and relatives. Shuchar Pitan, all shocked and affected. Bhuteshu, unto the living beings. Kalasya, of the supreme law of the Almighty. Gatim, reactions. Darshayan, Demonstrated. No. Pratikriyam. Remedial measures. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. Citing the stringent laws of the Almighty and their reactions upon living beings, Lord Shri Krishna and the Munis began to pacify those who were shocked and affected. Purport. The stringent laws of nature under the order of Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be altered by any living entity. The living entities are eternally under the subjugation of the Almighty Lord. The Lord makes all the laws and orders. And these laws and orders are gradually called dharma. or religion. No one can create any religion. No one can create any religion formula. Bona fide religion is to abide by the orders of the Lord. The Lord's orders are clearly declared in the Bhagavad Gita. Everyone should follow Him only or His orders, and that will make all happy, both materially and spiritually. As long as we are in the material world, our duty is to follow the orders of the Lord. And if by the grace of the Lord, we are liberated from the clutches of the material world, then in our liberated stage also, we can render transcendental service unto the Lord. In our material stage, we can see neither ourselves nor the Lord for want of spiritual vision. But when we are liberated from the material affection and are situated in our original spiritual form, we can see both ourselves and the Lord face to face. Mukti means to be reinstated in one's original spiritual status after giving up the material conception of life. Therefore, human life is specifically meant for qualifying ourselves for this spiritual liberty. Unfortunately, under the influence of illusory material energy, we accept this spot life of only a few years as our permanent existence, and thus become illusioned by possessing so-called country, home, land, children, wife, community, wealth, etc., which are false representations created by Maya. And under the direction of Maya, we fight with one another to protect these false possessions. By cultivating spiritual knowledge, we can realize that we have nothing to do with all this material paraphernalia. Then at once we become free from material attachment. This clearance of misgivings of material existence at once takes place by association with Lord's devotees, who are able to inject the transcendental sound into the depth of the bewildered heart and thus make one practically liberated from all lamentations and illusions. That is a summary of the pacifying measures for those affected by the reaction of the stringent material laws exhibited in the form of birth, death, old age and disease, which are insoluble factors of material existence. The victims of war, namely the family members of gurus, were lamenting the problems of death, and the Lord pacified them on the basis of knowledge. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sva Padantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yatkrupa Tamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Mishwaram Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrunda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. We'll just read the translation once again. Citing the stringent laws of the Almighty and their reactions upon living beings, Lord Shri Krishna and the Munis began to pacify those who were shocked and affected. Hare Krishna. I'd like to offer my humble obeisances at the feet of all of you who are assembled here or electronically. Hari Bol. And I beg for the permission and blessings. So when I actually read this purport for the first time, this is slightly not exactly, I'm going to speak from the purport, but something about what I realized after reading this purport is, first of all, I actually had to read this purport at least six to seven times to fully able to understand it. Because I thought it was a very heavy purport. I was just trying to read and understand. When I read the sentence here, when Prabhupada said that this is the summary study of pacifying majors. So, because the line it simply says that this is how Lord Krishna pacified, the Munis and Krishna pacified. And then Prabhupada gives a good amount of description. And then he just mentions that this is the summary study of all the pacifying. So I wanted to again and again understand how is this summarizing done by Srila Prabhupada. And as I was reading this purport, I was just imagining that such strong clarity of the message and such beautiful English language. And I was just thinking that where this must have been written, where this must have been composed. And then you obviously know that this is first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. That means Srila Prabhupada has composed it somewhere in Radha Damodar temple. He is sitting in one corner and he is translating, he is writing his purports. And I was just reading one particular book written by a sannyasi. And I mean, I was reading some passages from that book. And he mentions that when Srila Prabhupada would go out for Madhukari, whenever he would approach Grahasthas, and they would come out with some dal or some rice, and Prabhupada would say, no, please don't give me dal and rice, please give me a pen and paper. So it really pains, you know, Prabhupada would go and beg for pen and paper. And whatever Prabhupada wrote in that Radha Damodar temple, some of that got published into BTG magazine, some of that went into the Easy Journey to Other Planets, or some books which Prabhupada wrote in Radha Damodar temple. And most of it went into Srimad Bhagavatam. Each of these words are written by Prabhupada through a begged pen, on a begged paper. That is the manuscript. And all this is happening, and just see the language, just see the clarity of language, the words which Prabhupada is using, the formation of sentences. And I was imagining that whenever we go to Vrindavan, Dham, you know, and whenever you see the ambience of that place, right? How many of you can actually think that somewhere here in the corner, there is one personality who is actually writing this type of English and this type of eloquent message in Bhagavatam? Because most of it, when you go across Radha Damodar temple, it's all those small gullies. And you know, suddenly a pig comes out of a gutter with completely body and it just passes by. And then you have this honking rickshawalas constantly. And in the middle of all this chaos, there is one small person sitting there. And this is when he wrote this. This is 1959. This is even before he went to United States of America. So who could have actually gone to Vrindavan and imagined that in a small gully like this, somebody is composing this marvelous purport, which 50, 60 years later, an educated person takes 6 to 7 reads to understand it. And this is happening in that small place of Radha Damodar. So what I'm trying to say is that, you know, we know this shloka, that, or we know this fact, that Vrindavan Dham is the Chintamani Dham. There are Chintamani stones, there are Kalpavruksha trees everywhere. They are written. So this shloka has to be understood, and then we say that, oh, you're not able to see it. You can't see it because your eyes are covered with a veil of Maya Devi. That's why you cannot see it. And oftentimes, you know, I sometimes regret it to the core of my heart. That, and I saw it myself, you know, sitting on the bank of Radhakund. I remember one of the Govardhan Parikrama we went. And then one plastic bag just flew like this. And it went into the water. Right? And then everyone is thinking, oh, this is just a veil of Maya. Actually, this is a wonderful place. You know, this is all Chintamani gems and Kalpavruksha trees. But nobody felt like getting up and picking up the plastic bag from Radhakund and putting it outside. I mean, that's rubbish, right? So you cannot make Vrindavan more dirty thinking that, oh, you know, this is all illusion. I can't see it. So I'll keep on making it more dirty. What's the problem with it? No, first of all, we should make our whole effort to clean that place. And through the process of cleaning that place, our heart will be cleansed. And then you can actually see the Chintamani Dham there. But you just keep on making it more dirty. And nobody feels like that. Nobody feels like actually cleaning it. To the extent that if you go to Keshi Ghat, there are two sewage treatment plants there, actually. I don't know how many of you have seen it, but if you go on the Parikrama Marga on Keshi Ghat, there are two sewage treatment plants. They are meant so that, and I know that because I was involved in that project, in the preliminary study in a work in my earlier form. That project was funded by Japanese bank, JBIC. JBIC funding, and lots of money. The only outcome of that project I saw is the two sewage treatment plants there on Vrindavan, right? But those plants don't function. They don't function. The sewage simply goes into Yamuna River. What to do? Right? So nobody feels like doing it. Right? Everybody says, oh, this is a transcendental place. Only your heart is pure, it will manifest. But whatever is there for the Laukik vision, that you take action on. So I was just trying to understand, Laukik vision, we know that there are Chintamani gems. And only with a clear vision you can see them. So this is a divine interpretation of that understanding. But there's a Laukik interpretation also. And the Laukik interpretation is that there are gems in the form of such people who are staying there in Vrindavan, which you can see with your own eyes. But you need to have the desire to be able to see them. They are gems sitting there. Right? So therefore, if you know that our Vrishbhanu Prabhu also, he sometimes uses Subhashit, he speaks. There's a famous verse in the Subhashit Mala, which says, again comparing great people to gems. So the Subhashit says that, Kalpavruksha kalpitameva sute, sa kamadhuk kamitameva dogdhi, chintamani chintitameva datte, satam tu sangan sakalam prasute. That's the verse. So what is the meaning of that? This is a small explanation. So there are the desires that you may have in your hearts, they have been classified into three categories. So first category is like your kama, something that you immediately want. So suppose if you are sitting in temple and you feel, oh, it's very hot, so please put on the fan. So it's a desire that, you know, I feel. Or if you're hungry, you feel like somebody should give me some prasad. If you're thirsty, you feel somebody should give me some water. There are immediate desires of fulfilling the needs of your body and your senses. So they are kama. So we know that when King Kaushik, who later on became Vishwamitra, when he was traveling in the forest, he was afflicted by the desires. Like he was afflicted by thirst and hunger and pain. And then who manifests to fulfill those desires? Kamadhenu came. Right? So you have kama. Kamadhenu can fulfill all the kama desires. So the verse is saying that, you know, sa kamadhuk kamitameva dogdi. The desires of body can be fulfilled by kamadhenu. And then there are certain desires which you could be feeling, you always meditate upon them. Right? It's like they're long-term plans. Like, you know, say I have a daughter, I need to get her married. Okay, so I need money for that. So I need to save that money. Right. So it's a plan. It's not yet manifested. So you keep, but you think about it and there is some sort of a chinta associated with it. Right? There is some sort of a worry. You know, what if I don't have enough balance? Will I be able to marry? Will I be able to call all the Vaishnavas? Or I have to cut the names? Or like in Gujarati marriages sometimes, you know, I don't know, sometimes they see. I was shocked to see that. But on the marriage card, sometimes it is written, Banne or Ekam, something like that. That means two or only one. And then they cut. Sometimes they cut the Banne. That means only one person is invited. Please don't bring the whole family like that. I was surprised. But yeah. Because that's a worry, that's a chinta. What if I'm not able to, what if I call so many people, I'm not able to feed them sufficiently? So that's a chinta. So you have such chintas, and then sometimes you may feel, oh, one day, you know, some people feel that one day I will buy that house there in front of the temple. So you have to plan for that. So they are like such thoughts, that someday I will do it, someday, chinta. So chinta mani chintita meva datte. Who can fulfill the desires, like the story of Sanatan Goswami. There was this man who had these plans of becoming rich, right? And he had chinta. So he came and said, can I have your chinta money? So so he said that, yeah, take it. It's there lying in the garbage can. The person, hey, how can chinta money be lying in the garbage can? So because I have Harinam chinta money. That's even greater than chinta money. But that's another story. But chinta money, it can fulfill all your such desires. And then there are desires which are kalpita. That means you cannot even imagine them. They are not something which is easily available. For example, one day I will become a devotee of Krishna. It's not possible. There's no way. And if you feel that I am saying wrong, Prahlad Maharaj said this in Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, Matirna Krishna Parata Swatova Mithova. Prabhupada, oftentimes he quotes in the lecture many times. You want to become Krishna's devotee? By others' effort, you cannot become. Swatova, your own effort, no, you cannot become. Mithova, combination of both, you cannot become. So what do? So Prahlad Maharaj ends that purport saying that, Mahi Asham Padara Yobhishekam Nishkinchananam Navranitayavat. Only by mercy of great devotees, you can become devotee of Krishna. So Kalpita, you becoming devotee, not possible. Only possible by mercy of Krishna. Therefore, we bow down and we say, Vancha kalpataru bhyascha krupa sindhubbe vacha. I mean, of course. But this shloka goes ahead and it says, well, don't only call great devotees as kalparuksha. You are actually minimizing their greatness by doing that. Satam tu sangam sakalam prasute. The great devotees are so powerful that they can actually fulfill all desires. The chinta also can be relieved. The kama can also be relieved and a kalpit groshti can also be relieved. All can be relieved. And I wanted to, and I, when I heard this verse, I said, how is it possible? I mean, this is too much. Maybe it's an allegorical representation. And for many years, I actually thought that it's an allegorical understanding. Until something happened with me personally. And I just, sorry, one should not share one's personal experiences so much. But this I am sharing just to emphasize that actually it's true. That a saintly person does fulfill all the desires. And this happened actually again during another Govardhan Parikrama. And this Parikrama I was doing with some of our devotee friends. And it was night time. And typical, this is very typical when all young people are together and you are doing Govardhan Parikrama. And especially when you go through those small lanes of Jatipura where there is this Khau Gully. It's amazing, there's one Khau Gully here in Churchgate and there's another one in Govardhan also. A replication of that maybe. And generally what happens is that Govardhan Parikrama, because you walk, you digest very fast. And everyone feels that, you know, what if I suddenly get a pressure, you know, I need to respond to big job. So it doesn't work out. But then nowadays there are so many public latrines and everything arranged, right? And you can just pay a rupee, 5 rupee and something and you can go. So I was thinking, yeah, I mean, how does it matter? So we all nicely enjoyed in that Khau Gully. Right, we took a nice break and we started walking. And by the time we reached Kusum Sarovar, Mansi Ganga, Kusum Sarovar, that area. So Radhakund, we crossed past Radhakund and that track of Radhakund and Kusum Sarovar, right? There I started getting the pressure. And I knew, because in another Govardhan Parikrama, I knew I had helped one devotee to find one particular public latrine and use it. And I remember standing outside until he completed his work and he came out. So I remember there were two of them. So I said, okay, no problem. Yeah, I mean, but it was actually uncontrollable. And I started, And then the first one came. And it was closed. I said, how can public Saturn be closed? I mean, what kind of Vrindavan is it? It's supposed to be always working. It was a shock for me. So my friend said, "Arey, chalna aage. Let's see. The next one may be working." So then we went ahead. And the second was also closed. It was chained up like this. Because closed means what? I mean, if it's open, you can just go and use it. But it was like chained. And there was nothing there. So door with chains on that. And I was like, oh my God, now how am I going to do this? And that tract of land between Kasum Sarovar and Masinghar, you cannot even go out somewhere. I mean, it's difficult. And we didn't have any water bottle or anything because we were just free. We never thought of this particular calamity. And then I saw, walked a little bit ahead, and then I saw a house. And that house had a toilet outside. I said, yes, now I'll go and ask this person. And I knocked the door, and there were two old people came out. One old lady and old man just opened the door. And I said, can I use your, because the latrine was outside and it was locked. I don't know why people lock latrines outside, but it was locked. But I said, can I please? And they said, no, like that. I said, I'm not asking anything from you. I just want to use your, and it's outside. I promise I'll give you keys back. If you want, you keep my wallet with me, my mobile with you. They said, no, just go. So some arrangement of Krishna, I was not understanding what's happening. And I told my friends, it's becoming really difficult. I think you guys go ahead and I will find some place because I have to do something about it. And I walked a little bit more and I started hearing Prabhupada tape Hare Krishna chanting. And I said, here in the dead of the night, who is playing Prabhupada tape chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra? Like this tune that we play. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, that tune. And I started looking here and there, and I found a temple there. It was an ISKCON temple. I said, I never saw a temple here. ISKCON temple, this region. And I just went inside, and the devotee said, yeah, actually, generally we don't play this tune at this time, but somehow I felt like playing it, so I was playing it. And I just went there into the proper temple. And of course, it had all the facilities. And then I used the facilities, obviously, because I was literally overwhelmed by that. And the friends who were with me, they got so excited, they also used it. Although it was not really an urgent thing for them. But they were just so... So every one of us used it. And I said, and then he said, ye kaha se bhai, kaun sa temple hai? What is this place? He said, yeah, he said, this actually land here, it belonged to one Maharaja in Indore somewhere, or maybe Bharatpur or somebody. Yeah, no, but not Bharatpur. I think it was Indore or the Gayakwads or somebody, or maybe the Gwalior, one of them. My memory is bad, sorry. And that Maharaja donated this land to the temple, so that farmhouse is there. So we have actually built a farm, and then next to that farm, there was this old structure, which was anyways there, which converted now into a temple. So we're all very happy with now light stomach and very energized because of the wonderful hospitality that we got there. And there were devotees, wonderful devotees. They helped us. They gave us water and everything. You know, we were all happy. As we were coming out, a very good dear godbrother of mine, Achyut Govind Prabhu, he patted my back and he said, your Param Guru will fulfill even of your such desires. And he said like that. He said, see, you heard his Hare Krishna chanting and that's how everything happened. So your Puram Guru will fulfill even such desires of yours. So therefore, Satam Tu Sangam Sakalan Prasute. I am 100% convinced of this fact. Not only your spiritual Kapola Kalpit aspirations, but even your gross material desires will also be fulfilled in the association of devotees. So that is a very fact. And therefore, that they are actually gems. And as I was just thinking that this vision that we have, that we see when we look at Vrindavan, because we are coming from country, maybe so-called nice cities and clean cities and everything. So our vision about that village is like, it's all dirty and it's all this like that. But then there are gems there, which you don't realize. But just like our desire is like that, you know, when people who are outside India, they look at India as a country, even their vision is like that. But there are gems all over. And I was just thinking, one person who came from outside, you know, he came into India. He did not come to India for looking for any of the other facilities. So just like we say, you know, the Vrindavan is a Chintamani Dham and you cannot see it. Similarly, India also people say that it was a Sone Ki Chidi at one point in time. It was the richest country at one point in time. But now, you know, it's all covered. But the real gems are still there. And one person somewhere made that plan that he has to come to India and he needs to explore these gems. And he explored them. But his nature was not to settle for anything less. Right? Just like there is a mobile phone called Never Settle. They advertise like Never Settle. It's not a modern thing. This man exhibited his aspiration even at that time. And he came looking for and then finally found a gem in Srila Prabhupada. And that person is Radhana Swami. And when you look for gem, what do you actually look for? I did not know this, but somebody, there is Zaveri Bazaar is here close by. Somebody had taken me to Zaveri Bazaar. I said, when you look for a gem, what do you look for in a gem? So there's something like three C's of a gem. Right? So there is cut, clarity and carat. These are the three C's of a gem. That's what people say. So carat means the weight. The weight of that gemstone. And then there is clarity. That means if you look at the gem, sometimes you see those small foggy structures inside. So how much clear it is, that's the clarity of the gem. And then there is cut. How nicely it is so shaped, wonderfully shaped. Right? So similarly, you know, in Srila Prabhupada, there is substance. The purports have substance. They have weight. There is carat there. Right? So this personality was looking for that weight. He found that weight. And even today, many times when Radhanath Maharaj speaks in the class, he says that Guru means if you put all the opinions on one side of a Tula, we have a Tula there, wonderful Tula at the back for book donation. So take all the opinions of the world and put them on one side of a Tula, one side of a balance, and put your Guru's opinion on the other side, and the Guru's opinion will go down. That is the meaning of a Guru. That's the carrot. That's the weight that he was looking for. He found that weight. That's the substance. And then clarity. Just see the purport. That's so clear. There is absolutely no ambiguity in whatever Prabhupada writes, whatever he says. I mean, acceptance of bhakti. So I was saying, right, like I want to become a devotee of Krishna. I could have never imagined myself speaking on Vyasasana and speaking on scripture. Impossible. Are you serious? I mean, if I show this photo to any of my old friends, they'll go crazy. They'll say, what? Is that the same you or is a different person in your... How is it even possible? That's through the clarity. The clarity convinced us that, yeah, this is it. Somehow it never appeared. So Prabhupada very nicely says this, that the message that's spoken by the great person, they inject the message right into the heart of the bewildered living entities. You know, that's that injection. It's an intravenous dose. So when the pills don't work, doctors give you intravenous. So the saintly people exactly know where to give that intravenous dose and how to do it. And that's what we saw in the clarity. There is no fogginess. And then there is a shape. There is cut. You know, Prabhupada went through severe hardships. Right? He already is a Nitya Siddha devotee. He's already Nitya Siddha devotee in spiritual world. Huh? But just to show to the material world that no, you need to go to hardships. Unless and until you have gone through this, you cannot achieve something great in life. There is no pain, no gain. Prabhupada went through that. So that is the cut. So when that gem was presented, you know, you have to accept that gem. It has the cut, it has the clarity, and it has the carrot. So you accepted that gem. Right? And that gem, through that clarity and through that weight, now you can actually understand this purport. So that was just the introduction which I wanted to give about this purport. This is what was thinking in my mind. So, and when I was reading this purport, just trying to understand that how Prabhupada is saying that this is the summary of the pacification measures which are given by Lord Krishna. So Shukadev Goswami, he has just mentioned that, okay, Lord Krishna has said that he cited the laws of the Almighty and the reaction on living entity. That's all. There's just two sentences mentioned. But then Prabhupada goes on explaining it in this purport that actually, because if you see, many times in our, and another thing, very interesting, that this purport also gives you a window, just like Prabhupada said that these pictures are windows into spiritual world. So these purports are windows into the Vedic culture, which was there existent in the past. And we see that there is a provision of these consoling sessions, which do exist. So, please don't think that Lord Krishna, you know, he consoled Arjuna, right, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And he pacified him. And he prepared him to fight. But after the fight was done, so many people were killed, again Krishna is there to pacify the relatives of those who are killed. So Lord Krishna is doing his job perfectly well. Right? And he is coming, he is teaching, and there is a provision for this. So we see that even when, in the 7th canto, when Hiranyaksha was killed, Hiranyakashipu did that particular task. He sort of gave the consoling sessions to the wives of Hiranyaksha. Of course, the thought always comes to my mind that did he really mean it? But we'll come to that a little later. Right? So how is this? So there's a provision of these consoling sessions. Unfortunately, in today's civilization, we don't see these things happening. Right? There is no formal. So we have condolence meetings and everything. But all that people do is just come, they offer some flower and go. In devotee gatherings, there is much more. We glorify the person because the person is glorious and he has done so many activities. But there is a specific arrangement of a consoling session. We don't see that happening nowadays. And in that consoling session, even if you go in the consoling session, so sometimes you may go to such a consoling session or you want to console somebody who is afflicted, you will not know what to speak. Because how do I structure my conversation? What should I speak first? What should I speak afterwards? But the purport systematically presents how the consoling. Prabhupada says that this is the summary of the entire pacifying measures. So if you go through the purport, you will see that this is exactly how the pacification procedure is done. And the first thing which Lord Krishna speaks here, which Prabhupada speaks here in the purport, Prabhupada says that the first thing which was told is that the laws of nature are all powerful. The laws of God are almighty. Nobody can escape. Nobody can escape these laws. Even if you are a devotee, you cannot escape this. Right? So, something similar to how Gandhari accused Lord Krishna, that you were there on the battlefield. Right? You were there. Why didn't you stop it? Why didn't you stop it from happening? And Krishna actually tried stopping it in the Shanti. When he became a Shanti Dutan, he went there. But nobody listened. So when you don't listen, and then you have desires, right? And I always wonder this, right? So there was this war declared, and suddenly there was this group of kings who came and they joined with Kurus, and there was another group of kings and they joined with Pandavas. Some of them may have come with some obligations, but people could have just stayed back, right? You know, I'm a neutral person. I don't want to participate in the war. But everybody came. For Kshatriyas, you know, that's the itch. I mean, they are waiting for a war to take place so that they can participate in it. So, itna bada opportunity kaun chhodega? Now, such a massive war, full scale, is there. Yeah, chalo, participate. So, if you are coming to participate in the war and you want to be in the war, then don't expect miracles to happen. Somebody is going to die. Somebody else is going to die. So, the laws of Almighty are all powerful. So you cannot escape to go into a war. You cannot escape to go into a challenging situation and always think that, oh, miracles will work out. In Marathi, there is a saying, very important. It says, Pratikul tes bahuda ghadel. It is mentioned. Pratikul tes bahuda ghadel. That means, what is pratikul, what is unforeseen, what is not really great, that only will happen. Mostly that only will happen. In very few rare cases, no miracle may take place. But mostly, don't think that, oh, because I am, you know, just like our country is facing such a massive challenge from neighboring countries. And in this situation of challenging, the main commander of the country, he just lost his life in a massive helicopter crash. You must have heard the news. You know, there could be some conspiracy behind it. We don't know. Right? Because how can such a person just die? But just on the verge of it, pratikul tez bahuda gadel. So we should be prepared for the worst scenario all the time. Right? That is the law. That is the laws of the nature. Because the laws of Almighty are all powerful. So when you are expressing that to somebody who has lost a person, you know, don't think that you were pointed out and that's why your father or mother or child has gone. That's the law of nature. It just happens. It happens to so many. Right? And nobody can escape. None of us can escape. It's a very difficult thing to accept. It's a very difficult thing to accept, but that's the truth. It's a very bitter truth, but yeah, the laws of God are all powerful. But then the question comes, but yeah, if laws of God are all powerful, when the God is personally present, why he can't change them? Right? Why he cannot make any changes when he's personally present? Why he cannot maneuver them? Then you need to understand that what the purport is trying to say, then one needs to understand that first of all, you try to understand that why are you so miserable? Because you lost something, you lost some possession or something like that, you feel so miserable. But you first try to understand who are you? What is your situation? You are the part and parcel of that same Supreme Lord. Right? Why are you not able to see it? You are not able to see it because you have your attachment. You have your attachment to enjoying certain things. Because you have the attachment to enjoy that. You cannot see it away from you. You cannot see separate from you. That attachment is stopping you from realizing this. Right? So therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, that wonderful sloka, Lord Krishna speaks, that bhoktaram yajna tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram and surudam sarva bhutanam. If this is the entire understanding of Lord Krishna. So first you understand that Krishna is a supreme enjoyer. So everything is actually best for his enjoyment. It's not for my enjoyment. It's actually for Krishna's enjoyment. That is the vision that I am supposed to have. Right? Just like even in the temple. So like the famous example with Adhanath Maharaj quotes in his Journey Home book of Ghanashyam Das Babaji. So whenever Ghanashyam Das Babaji, whenever he would go to meet Ghanashyam Das Babaji Maharaj, Ghanashyam Das Babaji Maharaj would say that, oh, you know, you have come here. So he would just have one or two rotis with him, which he had done Madhukari from. And all those rotis he would give to Radhanath Swami. And he would just not have anything. And when Radhanath Maharaj would argue that, you know, why you're sharing like this? This is all that you have. He would say, actually you have come from so far. So that means you are a friend of Gopijana Vallabh. These deities' name were Radha Gopijana Vallabh. And I am simply their servant. So that is the mentality which a devotee constantly thinks. That yeah, so everyone in the temple, everyone who is coming to temple, everyone is coming there, oh, you are the friend of Lord Krishna. That's why you have come. But I am just a servant. So that is a temple. And Prabhupada actually wonderfully uses one word in this purport. He says, one has to cultivate spiritual knowledge. So this is how we cultivate it. So it's not going to happen overnight. But by cultivation, first try to understand that actually I am not the enjoyer. Lord Krishna is the enjoyer. So bhoktaram yajna tapasam. Of all tapasyas and all yajnas, he is the enjoyer. You mean the tapasya that I do, standing in the train, sweating there, yeah, Krishna is doing that. Right? But just imagine, at the end of the night, when you have struggled throughout your day, working hard and doing so much of this, and when you are sleeping, and the question comes, why am I doing it all for? Whom am I doing it for? I am doing it for pleasing Krishna. I am not doing it for myself. Right? Whatever I am doing it for, it's all included in my service of pleasing Krishna. And that's why I am doing it. Right? So then you can have a good night's sleep. Otherwise, you know, you are constantly in anxiety. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? Oh, I am doing... That's how Arjuna could sleep even after he made that terrible vow. Because he knows that his all goal of life is to please Krishna. Then it's Krishna's job to manage the rest of the things, right? And that's our devotee. Therefore, jnatva mam shanti mruchiri. But let's go ahead. Then he says, sarva loka maheshwaram. That means actually he is a controller. That means... That's what we're talking about, the laws of nature. Not a blade of grass moves without sanction of Lord Krishna. He's actually controlling everything. So then you may ask the question, okay, somebody is the enjoyer and he is the proprietor, so mereko banaye kyun? But you are Surudam, he's your friend. Right? He is happy to enjoy with you. So Prabhupada says in this purport, we have to follow the laws of God when we are living in this world and follow His orders. And then once we go to the spiritual world, again, we follow His orders. Right? But then is there a friendship and there is rasa and there is exchange. Right? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Sarvatma Snapanam Param Vijayate. And Prabhupada translates it, that is the rasa that everyone is hankering for throughout the life. Looking for that rasa somewhere, kidhar se milega, idhar se milega, idhar se milega, but that is there in that service. So this is the step. So you first explain that, yeah, everything is controlled by God, that He's a supreme enjoyer. But it's not that He's supreme enjoyer, that means He has made you a slave. He has made you a friend. That you are actually His friend, and He's willing to do everything for you. And then you may say, oh, I still don't understand what you're talking about. This is all high philosophy, right? So then you have to come in contact with a pure devotee who can inject that message inside. And it can just penetrate your consciousness, right? And that injected message inside, that goes, and an example of that in the scriptures is Valmiki Muni, right? So when he was in the previous life as Ratnakar, the hunter, and Narad Muni came, Narad Muni told him these things. Narad Muni told him the reactions that he will have to go through and everything. And he went, no, I mean, somehow he was not willing to accept. So Narada Muni said, please you go home. And the people for whom you are doing all this sacrifice, just go and ask them if they are willing to share the sin. So he went home and he asked his wife that, you know, I am killing all these animals, half dead and everything, that pain and everything I am doing to feed all of you. Right? So will you share a part of that sin? We will not share. So that made him, so each person will have some different injection. One injection doesn't work on everybody. But the saintly person exactly knows what injection works on you. Right? And you may say that, I am not able to speak like that when I am preaching something like that. But Prabhupada may just, he would come and he would speak one sentence to a person. And that one sentence would shake the person completely. And that person would think, like Prabhupada, Gaurang Prabhu gives an example. Prabhupada was meeting this Formula One racer. And he was talking about, bragging about his speed and everything and all that. And he was so happy about it. And Prabhupada asked him one question. So, are there some accidents sometime? Formula One racing. He said, yeah, there are accidents. So, that means people die also. He said, yeah, that means you can also die. He said, yeah, do you know what is death? So then he was dumbfounded. Yeah, I'm doing something. I'm playing with death, but I don't know what is death. And that just injected. Now that same formula may not work with somebody else, you know. So it's not that. But a saintly person exactly knows. Why? Because he's empowered by Paramatma. I think you quoted that verse. Yo antar bahir tanumurtam ashubham vidun van. Acharya chaitya vapusha swagatim vinakti. I remember one time I was facing my spiritual master and my wife was also with me. And I mentioned this point and he suddenly said something and I said, Maharaj, how do you know? And he said that you have Paramatma in your heart and that same Paramatma is in my heart also. So he just gave a simple explanation like that. So for a saintly person, the point that I am trying to say, for a saintly person, you have to understand that the Paramatma is actually telling him that you speak in this way. That is the right injection for this person. And that actually works on that person. So therefore, it is very important that when we go to a holy place, right, we should take shelter of the great persons. And I was talking about this Hiranyakashipu episode, so we just wanted to mention that. That how, you know, people could be so foolish because of their attachment and they don't see the things happening. So if you see the episode of Hiranyaksha, what is happening is Hiranyaksha is dead and Hiranyakashipu is thinking that Vishnu killed him. So I have to take my revenge and I have to kill Vishnu. Now all these ladies of who were the wives of Hiranyaksha, they were there and they were crying. So immediately Hiranyakashipu took a position of a great priest or whatever and started talking to them, you know, that how ultimately. And he cited the story of Yamaraj also, that how Yamaraj came and Yamaraj told the story of that cuckoo bird. So I think our Vedic cultures are designed like that, you know. And I don't know how it works, but that's how probably human mind understands things better. So even actually if you, sorry, I'm diverting from the topic, but just something came to my mind. If you, those who have studied computer programming, so generally if you take a program where you have to do something which is repetitively, right? There is iteration, reiteration like that. So there are two ways of doing iterations in computer programming. One is you write a for loop. You make a loop and you execute the programs again and again and again and again. But a much faster process of doing that is something called as a recursion. You heard of this message called recursion? That means you write a function and the function calls the function from within itself and then again goes inside it, that again goes inside it, that again goes inside it. So if you write the same code using recursion logic and using iteration logic, recursion works very fast and you get the answer very fast, right? I mean, those of you know programming, maybe I'm just little too much, but it's something called recursion. So where this recursion idea is coming from? It's there in the scriptures. So somebody starts a story. So Vyasadeva starts a story. In Vyasadeva's story, Shukadeva Goswami speaks. In Shukadeva Goswami's story, Sutta Goswami speaks. Then Shukadeva Goswami speaks. Then within that, Hiranyakashipu speaks. Then within that, Narad Muni speaks. Within that, Yamaraj speaks. Within that, the bird speaks. It's like the recursion. Right? The story, inside a story, inside a story, inside a story, inside a story. Probably that's the way we understand the knowledge better. So I don't understand why do people don't design the syllabus like that in the school, in the recursive format. Why you want to have, okay, one period of mathematics, then you have geography, then you have history, like that. Why can't you have it recursive? Somebody starts with history session, then he starts quoting some mathematics, then mathematics gives rise to some other geographical concepts, that gives rise to geometry. It would be fascinating, but that's how the scriptures are designed. Sorry, so coming back to our main story of Hiranyakashipu. So Hiranyakashipu started, he quoted Yamaraj. Yamaraj is talking about those birds. The birds are talking to each other. And with all the story, he's saying that actually don't die because the body is something which is anyways going to die. But the soul is eternal. So he's talking this philosophy to wives of Hiranyaksha. The soul is eternal. And internally he's thinking, I will take revenge from Vishnu. But Vishnu is not eternal. Vishnu cannot take birth again. And your brother has died. The brother will take birth again because he is eternal. He has gone to some place. You want to kill Vishnu, but Vishnu cannot take birth again. And he can again appear and kill you. And then what will you do? So whole life you are worried about, oh, I want to kill Vishnu, I want to kill Vishnu, I want to kill Vishnu. And that miserable existence, right? Because if you see Prahlad Maharaj's purport, when Hiranyakashipu first asked Prahlad Maharaj, that what is the best thing that you have learned? What is the best thing that you have learned? And then Prahlad Maharaj says, what is that verse he says? Asura Varya Dehinam. Tat Sadhu Manne Asura Varya Dehinam Sada Samudvigna Dhiyam Asad Graha. He just spoke like that. Now you imagine, you know, a father asks a small child, my dear child, how are you? And the child suddenly says that, oh, you're always disturbed. And does it ever happen like this? How can child just go and tell a father like that? Because small children, you know, they keep observing. Right? But there is no place to express the thoughts. So Prahlad Maharaj, throughout his life, he must be observing. His father, you know, he is always miserable. You know, he is dealing with my mother like this. Sometimes, you know, pulling her hair or whatever. And, you know, he's doing all such activities and everything. Sada samudvigna dhiyam. But there is no way to express it to the father. Now, why are you like this, my dear father? Don't be like this. The first time he got the opportunity, father only came. Abhi itna bada father hai. There is no opportunity to speak. And father is saying, oh, how are you? Mere baare mein jaane do. First, you tell me. You are sada samudvigna dhiyam asad gira. So the point which I am trying to say is that whole life you are spending sada samudvigna dhiyam because your goal is I want to kill Vishnu, I want to kill Vishnu. Then what happens? Then you kill Vishnu. Then what happens? Vishnu takes birth again because you only mentioned about Hiranyaksha. So Vishnu takes birth again and then what happens? Then you know, okay, somewhere Vishnu has taken birth. So again sada samudvigna dhiyam, sada samudvigna dhiyam. Now how long will you survive like this? Right? So therefore, Prahlad Maharaj is saying that what you are doing is nonsense. You are not understanding what's happening. And just try to understand one thing. I landed up watching once a movie. Not like one should do it, but I somehow landed up. It was one of the, now there's this Avengers people talk about. So it was one of the Avengers movie. So there's something very nice in that movie. So what happens in that, there is some big villain there. Some big black villain or something. And that villain is going to kill this hero. And his name is Doctor Strange. So the Doctor Strange has a stone with him. It's called the Infinity Stone. Talking about gems. So he has that Infinity Stone. So what happens is, because it's infinity, things keep on happening again and again and again and again. Right? So it's not that it happens and it's all over again. No. Because of the power of the Infinity Stone, things keep happening again and again and again. So this black power or whichever is trying to conquer all Earth and everything, that power tells him that, you go away and you surrender and this. And he said, no, I'm not going away. You go away. And like that. So then the power becomes so angry that the power uses some piercing weapons and all to kill that person. So Doctor Strange is dead. Killed. But because he has the Infinity Stone. So he again comes to that same path again speaks the same words. And his villain is, oh, I just killed him. But he has again come. So again he amasses all that power and everything and then push. Again the person is killed. But the Infinity Stone is there. So again he comes back. And this keeps on happening over and over and over and over. The villain gets frustrated. He says, stop it. Just stop it. The person says, no, you first go away. I will not stop. And in the frustration, he goes away. So I had a small realization when I saw this particular scene. He says, I understood that eternity doesn't go very well with hatred. It doesn't go. It doesn't go very well with dvesh. Eternity only goes very well with loving service. Therefore, sat chit ananda. The ananda has to be with sat. Sat has to be with ananda only. Sat cannot be with dvesha. It doesn't exist. Because how long you'll keep on hitting like that? Sada samudvigna dhiyam. Vishnu will again take birth. Again he will come to kill you. Again you will become angry. Again you will try to kill Vishnu. Again he will take birth. And how long will it continue? This eternity concept only gels well when there is ananda and there is seva. Otherwise it doesn't gel well. It just doesn't work. And the problem is, we are all eternal living entities. I mean, that's not a problem, but the fact is that we are all eternal living entities. So how long will you keep on hating Vishnu? That's where we come to this purport. Okay, Vishnu has created all the laws and everything. He wants to stop, but I want to hate him. Why he did like this in my life? How I did it like this? But how long will you keep on doing it? Because you are ultimately eternal. Try to understand, the dvesha will not go with eternal. It has to convert into seva. So only loving service goes with eternity. There is nothing else that goes with eternity. And therefore Sanatan Dharma means, our Radha Gopinath Prabhu says, the Sanatan Seva of Sanatan living entity to Sanatan Supreme Lord for Sanatan period of time. That is Sanatan Dharma. So it only exists because only in Seva form can eternity comfortably exist. Otherwise eternity becomes a burden. That eternity actually was becoming a burden on Hiranyakashipu. He was not realizing it. That's what he wanted to be, right? He wanted to be eternal. But Prahlad Maharaj is saying that, my dear father, Paratova, Svatova, Mithova, you will not understand this, what I am trying to say. So please go, take shelter of Vrindavan, Mahiyasham, Padar, Jogi, Shekam, do that, all bathe yourself, then some injection you will get. That injection will cure you. Yeah. Prahlad Maharaj was feeling himself also incapacitated. It is his humility actually. He is not saying that, oh, I will preach and I will transform my father. No, he feels that, no, I can't do it. And he's actually following the footsteps of Lord Krishna. So Lord Krishna is personally present there on the battlefield. He has all the power to pacify because he pacified Arjuna. He could pacify so many people. But he feels himself incapacitated to pacify. So he has got with him all the munis. So the munis will do the pacification work. Because they have the right injection. Even I don't have the injection. I gave all my vaccination to them. It's like, I don't have any vaccines now. They got all the vaccines. Right? So they will do all the vaccination and then the thing will happen. So, what I understood from this purport is that we have to actually meditatively look at this purport and constantly meditate on this. That, ultimately I am an eternal person. But somehow I am not able to accept it. Somehow I still have my attachments.
And I want that injection, right?
So, and where you get the injection from? You get the injection in a class. Now, we are incapacitated to give. But when great personalities like Prabhupada or great people, great, most of you also, then you speak, right? That the injection comes. And some injection that you get, that injection inspires you to continue further. Because you know that one point in time, one day, you know, it's a kapola kalpit desire. That one day I will become a devotee of Krishna. One day, someday. Like what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, right? Kabe habe saidi namar. Right? So if you have a kalpavruksha, and luckily by Krishna's mercy, these kalpavrukshas are not only kalpavruksha, they are chintamanis also, they are kamadhenus also, they are all of them. So the vani of such a kalpavruksha, the vani of such a chintamani will one day bring us out. And as mentioned in this purport, we can see Krishna face to face. We'll be, and once you see Krishna face to face, then all that misery is gone away. So I would like to end here. Thank you so much. If there is any questions, please let me know. Sorry, I was a bit incoherent because I got little time to prepare. But I hope you will forgive me. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare.